Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to What's Your Next Podcast. In today's episode, we're honoring the late Julie Garwood. A true pioneer in the world of romance fiction, Julie's novels, whether sweeping historicals or heart-raising contemporaries, captivated generations of readers and helped shape the new genre as we know it. She passed away last year, but her legacy lives on in every story she told. This conversation is a special look back at her remarkable career. Julie shares how a single college class sparked her love for history, how daydreaming in the most ordinary moments often became the seeds for her best-selling novels, and how she balanced mystery, suspense, and happily ever afters in her work. She also gives us a behind-the-scenes glimpse into her fan-favorite series like the Buchanan Family Books, and even talks about her own reading life and the authors she admires. If you're a longtime Garwood reader, or if you're just discovering her stories, you'll love hearing her reflect with humor, warmth, and generosity. It's a conversation that reminds us why her books meant so much and why they continue to endure. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Bye! Hi, Julie. Welcome to What's Your Next Podcast.
Hi.
So in this interview, we also have Addie Yoder. So hi, Addie. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So, Julie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, thanks. I don't know. I started writing. I've always been a writer, even as a child. Once I learned to read and write, I would write little stories. Just daydream a lot. I used to get into trouble for that in school. But when I wanted to finish college and I went back and had to take one history course, I was a four-year RN major and had taken all the sciences, but I needed 3 hours of history and for the four-year degree. And I couldn't think of anything more boring, but I took a course that would fit the schedule, and it was Russian history. And the teacher, Sister Joan, was amazing, and I loved it. I loved the course. And I thought, oh, I'll just take one more. And that one was ancient and medieval. And the whole idea of such a disciplined time with the feudal system and the manor, and I loved it. Everyone had their place, and I thought how fun it would be if someone didn't fit. So I liked to write, but I never showed it to anyone. So I decided to get a knight ready to go into battle, and I thought I would be so smart. I was going to describe him without describing him. And so, example, it takes two servants to lift his shield, and he picks it up with one finger practically. And they have to stand on a stool to put his helmet on, things like that. So he's tall and strong. And anyway, I got him all ready to go into battle, and I thought, now what? And I decided to mess with him, so I gave him Elizabeth. And that became, I titled it The Warrior, when a soul that was gentle warrior, which really, if you think about it, it's an oxymoron. But that led to another book and another book, and I was hooked. I kept taking more history classes, but my heart belonged to medieval at that point. And that's kind of what I've been doing.
I love this. Oh my gosh. I love this so much. It's an unexpected class that led you to a career.
True. It used to be you became a teacher or a nurse, and the field has way opened since then. I have a daughter who's an MD, and nobody told her she couldn't, which is pretty cool. My mom used to say, you can be anything you want, but learn to type. And I always thought that was hilarious. But what she meant was you can support yourself while you're going for your dream by getting a job as a typist somewhere. And she'd gotten me smiling now because I type all day long. So anyway, when I started too, I didn't know about categories or any of that. My 4-year-old, Jerry was 4, and he liked to ride his big wheel. Well, he couldn't be outside unless I was outside with him. So I would sit on the steps, and he would go from the neighbor's garage up to the corner and back. And one day, there was a grandmother who had moved in with her granddaughter, and she was standing at the corner. My worry was that he'd run over her. He was very frail, but he got off his big wheel, talked to her for a minute, and then took her hand and led her back home. And then he ran over to me, very proud of himself, and said, "Grandma forgot where she lived, but I remembered." I could not get that out of my mind, and I ended up writing what became a YA, although I didn't know that. I thought it was just his. And I wanted to tell the story of a grandmother or father, and I chose father, moving back in with his daughter and how it would affect the dynamic in that family. Well, who would be the most emotional about it? Well, it would be a 13-year-old girl, right? So that's the story I wrote, and it was called The Girl Named Summer, because that was her name. But anyway, so I was told when an agent took me on that was called a YA. Anyway, she sent that to Scholastic. They turned it back down. The editor said, "No one wants to read about old people." And then about a week later, she called the agent and said, "I can't get that story out of my head. I'm buying it," which was lovely. It actually ended up doing extremely well. So I'm glad I wrote it. I'm talking way too much, aren't I?
No, this is so good. I know, Addie, you want to ask her another question?
Oh, yeah. I'm like absorbing all of it.
Yeah.
I'm listening. I could do this all day.
I think that it's so interesting how authors that like you that I've read for a long time, it feels like, and correct me if I'm wrong, it feels like when you started writing, you had the freedom to do whatever you wanted because you wrote such great historical books, but you also wrote Western romance, right?
The first Western I ever wrote was a story, For the Roses.
Yes.
That was because it had to be, the story I saw in my head had to be in that time period. And I don't know. I did not want to switch to contemporary, but okay. I didn't get this one story to work. It had to be modern day. You want to hear how that happened?
Yes, my sister,
please. Called her Cookie. Her name is Mary Collette. I took her with me to London, and she only had one rule. We had to go to mass every day, which I said, yeah, okay. So we get in, we're zombies because neither one of us have never been there. And we are so excited that we don't sleep at all on the plane. We get there, get unpassed, and then we find out that there is a mass at this church, I don't know, a couple of miles away. So we get into the taxi and go there. I'm like a zombie at this point. And we get into the church. It's a real old, beautiful church. Either of you ever seen the movie Sisterhood with Goldie Hawn? Not Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
He plays a nun. Well, anyway, the priest looked exactly like that actor, which I thought was kind of funny. And when we gave the sermon, he talked about the prodigal son. But then when he got to the, here's the reason for the story, kind of, or the punch, he just stopped and said, but I know, and the congregation, most of them were nodding. Then he told another parallel, parable, whatever. I can't remember which one it was. And yet again, he gets the punchline, what I call the punchline. And he pauses and says, but I know that I'm not making this up, by the way. Well, I kind of got tickled. The third time it happened, the I know went on and on. And I leaned down to Tootsie and said, I don't know, which made her laugh. And so then she moved. She wouldn't sit with me for the rest of the service. So I'm sitting there kind of daydreaming. And there's a confessional with the heavy velvet curtain. And I started thinking about the sins that the priests have heard over the years, right? And then I thought, what if the sin is something he's going to do? And that was the beginning of the book, Heartbreaker. So I daydreamed in church, and I'm getting a port probably. But that, and I couldn't put it in a historical setting. So the rest of the recant came to light then. That's how that all got started. Complicated, huh?
Yeah, but then you just never stopped. Like, you just kept going with the family. Did you just fall in love with them?
Well, oh, yeah. But the first Buchanan was historical. The secret, Roddick Buchanan is one of the commanders under Ian Maitland. And then he gets his own story in Ransom. So that's way back in 1200 or 1100. Then come forward, and the first modern Buchanan is Nick Buchanan, and the story is Heartbreaker.
I am so glad that you brought up the historical Buchanans, because that, to me, I loved that connection when I read. I cannot get enough of stories with overlapping characters, and that when you get bits and pieces of the characters from previous books. So I think that's part of why the Buchanan Renard are so, like I pre-order every single one and I can't stop. And then I give them to my mom and my best friend, and we all just can't stop reading them.
It's so funny to me, because they say, well, where do you come up with these ideas? It's always one scene that I see, and from that, I know the whole book. But I'm trying to think, I'll give you an example. Example, the ideal man, the opening line is, the first time she slit a man's throat, she felt sick to her stomach. The second time, not so much. Well, and then you find out she's a surgeon. But from seeing that scene in the operating room, I knew the whole story. I don't know how that works. I used to get a lot of daydreaming in during my kid's sporting event, which is terrible to say, but come on, T-ballers. And my friends would say, oh, there is that. And I'd yell the appropriate good eye or whatever and watch. But I did a lot of fighting there. So anyway.
I think we would have sat together at ball games, because I do similar things. I put audiobooks in my ears and kind of sit further away from the other moms because I know I'll distract them.
Oh, I have to tell you, I think this is funny. My youngest loved football, and he was, I guess you'd call him a running back or whatever. And as a freshman in an all-boys high school, very few were elevated to varsity. And he came home one day and said, Mom, I'm the new punt returner. Well, I didn't know much about football back then. And I thought, well, that's nice. Never occurred to me to ask what happened to the old punt returner. So I go to the first game or the next game, and they said, oh, Jerry's in. And I look, and here's my little boy, and here are, it looks like 20 gorillas, five times his size, running towards him. And I remember jumping to my feet. I was horrified and yelling, run out of bounds, for the love of God, because I didn't want to see him get nailed. But he did all right. He was a fat little freshman or whatever. And I love football now. I live in Kansas City, so we have my home, and that makes me happy. We have a good football.
It makes us happy, too. My eight-year-old is all over Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, he's a good man. He does a lot of charitable things, though. Anyway, we're off topic, I guess.
Yeah, let's try one Race Under Fire. Tell us what the story is all about and, like, maybe what kind of daydream were you dreaming when this happened?
Race Under Fire, where was I? I can't remember. But the opening line is, well, great, says Bell McKenna, had 100 things to do today. Killing someone wasn't one of them. I mean, the story from there. And other books that Grace's uncle, great uncle, left her, she just stayed in Scotland. So she goes to Boston to celebrate an anniversary with her sister and her sister's husband, Peter Buchanan, at Nathan's Bay, where they are, the whole family has gathered. Then she's going on to Scotland. And she kills a man. He tries to kill her and another man. And when she sat on this walk, so she goes to the police station, of course. It's all on video, so nobody is thinking she's a suspect. And Michael Buchanan shows up. Michael is a Navy SEAL, and an attorney. And she has a real love-hate relationship with him. But that doesn't matter. He's going to watch out for her as an attorney. So they kind of have this, I don't know how, it's kind of a sibling relationship. And he follows her to Scotland when he realizes the danger went with her. And that's kind of the story. There's a lot of fun in this book because I don't want to write real heavy psychopath kind of book. I just want, especially in this day and age, I want things to make you smile. And hopefully I've accomplished that. One never knows.
Yes, you did. Addie, do you have a question?
Did it feel a little bit full circle to come back to Scotland?
Well, yeah, and this book does that. It's not set there. They go there. And I was drawn to Scotland. One of the questions that I'm asked is, when did I switch to suspense? Well, I never switched. There's always been a mystery in each one of my books. That hasn't changed. Some, there's more than others. But definitely, and romance, I want to write as the ending. I don't want what if. So I can let everybody end up happy. And I only kill bad people or people I think are horrible in my book.
I appreciate that deeply.
Yeah. I think it's
It's true. It's all right.
Awesome. So let's have some book recommendations. Do you have any books that you recommend that you have read? It doesn't have to be romance. It can be any kind of genre that you would recommend our listeners to pick up.
I have been reading a lot of nonfiction. Laws and Scotland, legal, sure, wills and all that, and their officers of the law, et cetera. But I have a big stack I want to read, and I'm starting with one that's becoming a movie. It's been around a while, Where the Crawdads Thing. Have either one of you read that?
I did. I read it. It's really good. It's definitely engaging. It's definitely in this, The Girl in the Swamp. But there was definitely a lot of nature in it. So I hope you enjoy it.
Good. I think I will. I liked anything by Jodi Picoult, trying to think. Of course, John Grisham. I love Nora Roberts. Well, trying to think. I'm just picturing the books on my side table. I'm not going to, in between books, I don't read nonfiction. I go back to more fun stuff.
So, Julie, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Kate Kinnear.
Awesome. You too.
Bye now.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whatyourneextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What's Your Next Podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always in the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourneextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.